Welcome to the Connected Members episode. Thank you so much for being a Relay FM member and supporting this show or any of our shows at Relay FM. We decided to put together for you an episode where we talk about our home screens, because I think everybody loves to talk about home screens. So we are going to go round robin style, row by row, to tell you about the apps that we have on our devices and why we have them. Federico, can you start with from your top left? Top row, what do you have?
All right, so top left, always been and always will be the App Store. first sentence and you're already making fun of me.
It can't have always been if you had the original iPhone. Did you have the original iPhone?
No.
Well,
now know, what?
You're okay then.
I mean, it's not a literal always. It's been for a long time. You're happy now?
Yep.
It's been for a long time, and it'll likely be for a long time in the future, the App Store, because, you know, I need to discover new apps. I want to discover new apps and games, and every day I check on the featured apps from Apple, and so it's convenient to have it on the first home screen. Apple Music is actually part of a bigger trend at this point in the summer, which is what I do every year. I try to use as many Apple apps as possible, again, to understand the changes that are going through the new version of iOS. We talked about this last year, maybe even 2 years ago. So Apple Music and, you know, and other Apple apps on my home screen are part because I like them and I use them every day. But in the case of Apple Music, it's because it's changing and I need to check it out again.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a bunch of new features in iOS 10. It's nice. We'll see how it goes. Overcast, we're all using Overcast. It's a much better podcast client than the Apple Podcast app. And I've been using it in the past few months also for like file uploads, which is a new feature that Marco added in the last year. It's very convenient. So big fan of Overcast. I don't listen as much as Mike or Steven do, I think. But, I listen almost every day to podcasts. So, you know, much better experience. YouTube is a new entry in the past couple of years on my home screen. I was not a huge YouTube person, but the combination of, you know, discovering and meeting CGP Grey and getting to know more YouTubers and following the daily vlogs of like Casey Neistat and others on YouTube have convinced me that, you know, I'm spending enough time on YouTube that it's worth putting the icon on my home screen.
YouTube is an interesting entry there. It didn't really notice to me when I looked at your image here, but yeah, YouTube. I don't know how many people, I guess, in our circle would have YouTube on their homepage. I use it every single day too, but I'm typically watching on my Apple TV, and it's one of the top apps on my little dock on the Apple TV of the four. I can definitely say that I'm a big YouTube guy now, that more than I used to be.
I usually watch on the phone, so it makes sense for me to have it there.
Yeah.
And if you look at the first row, I call it the media row because it's all media apps like App
Store. You could call it front row.
Next.
My top left, I have Day One. Day One for me, it's not a diary. I've mentioned this before. It's just a place where I store things in my life that make me happy, like achievements and stuff. But this is one that I debate keeping on my home screen, as I actually don't use it very often. I might only put something into Day One maybe once every month or so. As I look at my home screen now, if I was going to be moving something off of my home screen to add something new in, Day One might be the thing that will be replaced. Next up, I have Editorial. Editorial is my current text editor of choice. Because it syncs very well with Dropbox. It handles Markdown in a way that works nicely for me. I like the way that it does Markdown highlighting. The caveat, I guess, is that only really the beta is the one that I would use as of right now, because it's where I can get split screen and stuff. Is split screen on the iPad release version yet, Federico?
No, I think the beta has been in beta for like a year.
Yeah, it's, I feel like I've been using the beta since I got my iPad Pro.
Coming out eventually, I guess, but it's still in beta.
So I that's why I have Editorial here, because I use it on my iPads a lot with the split screen. But I am planning to give Ulysses more of a try. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, mainly because I want Federico's sick Ulysses theme that he has. But for right now, Editorial is the one that I like the most because it has the Dropbox integration that I like, which, you know, it allows me to pick from anywhere in Dropbox and stuff like that. I like that. But I know Ulysses in their beta, they're doing that, so that will be out as well. So I'm probably going to switch at some point, but I just haven't yet. Notes is next up, and it's easily one of my most used applications on my phone. I put so much stuff into Notes now, like general notes, like little snippets of information. Maybe if I'm away somewhere, I'll put like a hotel room number in there, right? I just make a little note with a room number in. Maybe I've got a list of movies or something that I want to watch. If there is text that needs to be recorded just for later use, Notes is most likely where it's going to be. I'm also using it to replace my Evernote travel notes. I've mentioned this recently. I put like a text breakdown of all my trip information and PDF receipts, because you can put PDF into Notes really easily. It has all future plans for things that I'm working on, new shows, new topic ideas, just new projects. Everything like that goes into Notes. I just make little bulleted outlines and stuff there. And also, the thing that makes Notes so indispensable for me, is why I use it every single day, is it's where all the follow-up and thoughts go for each show. Using the extensions that iOS provides, I can very easily add links to the connected follow-up note, and then I can go into the note on a Monday evening or a Tuesday morning, take a look at everything's in there, and then add it to Quip, which is the text collaboration system that we use between the three of us. But Notes is like my central place for text now, and it's why it's become one of the most used applications on my phone. I still wish that it didn't look like a piece of paper, but I can get by that because it is such a great utility for me right now. And Dropbox is my file system. Just simply, that's just where everything goes. So of course I have it there. Steven, you're up.
Alrighty, so on my top row, upper left, I have the iOS Maps application. I don't use it a whole lot, but when I do, I want it to be handy, and it's perfectly serviceable in my area. We don't have mass transit. The Google Maps versus Apple Maps thing in Memphis, at least, is they're basically on par with each other. So I'm using the native Maps app. Up next, I have our own app, the Relay FM app. So I can see very quickly what's going on in the network, if someone's live, check the schedule. Plus, it's super awesome to have your own company's logo on your home screen. It feels pretty good.
This is a spoiler for my final row. The only reason I have our app on my home screen is because I like to see our logo on my home screen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, why not?
Next, I have the Watch app. This has come and gone. I'm wearing my Apple Watch a little bit more now.
This is a very interesting choice to me to have the Watch app there. How often do you use the Watch app?
So as we've talked about, I have not worn the Watch for a while, and I'm trying to sort of reintroduce it into my life with watchOS 3 on the horizon. And part of that is really trying to understand how it fits into my work life now that I'm independent. So the being able to go in and quickly change something is nice. I don't think it's going to stay there forever. Out of what's on the top row, it's the one that gets used the least by far. And I think like your day one entry, if one needed to go, the Watch one would go. And next to it, I have Obscura, which is a camera app by our friend Ben McCarthy. Really nice filter set, nice editing tools. It's Visco Cam sat here for a long time, but a recent update made the app's interface impossible to understand, and they got rid of syncing. And so I've swapped it out with Obscura, which again, nice filters and everything. But if I want to launch the standard camera app, I just do that from Control Center.
Are we allowing home screen criticism to occur at any point in this episode?
You're going to complain that the Watch and Obscura app icons look the same?
Yeah, what is going on? What is going on there? Come on. I mean, do you really need to put those two circles close together? And I mean, there's even the Relay logo is almost a circle next to it. So it's like...
Yeah, well, it's fun if you...
Like the freaking Olympic logo up there in your home screen. Do you want to add two more? You want to add two more circles? It's gonna be an Olympics going on there.
Are you done?
Yes.
Your turn.
Is there no response?
No, I mean...
No response. He acknowledges the presence of circles on his home screen.
Yes, I acknowledge that there are circles on my home screen.
All right. So next, my second row, Photos. I use the Photos app a lot, not just for like personal pictures, but for screenshots, for reviews and for automation, because I run workflows on screenshots, and I also run Pythonista scripts through the extension in the Photos app. So I need quick access to photos. And with iOS 10, you know, the new features, memories, faces, it's going to be even more useful for me. Quip is where we are currently organizing our show research notes. I have different Quip documents for Connected, Remaster, and Canvas. It's where we collaborate. I am constantly, you know, dropping notes into these documents links. And I also use it for Mac stories. When we need to, we create shared documents with the team so we can collaborate on a, you know, a single document and everybody sees the changes there. Workflow, it's an essential app for my personal use for all kinds of automation on iOS. It really wouldn't be possible for me to work as much as I do without Workflow, just because I would be much, much slower and I would get fewer things done. And Peacock, it's sort of like Overcast is a much better podcast app than the Apple one. Peacock is a much better calculator, so much that I would love to be able to switch the calculator icon in Control Center with, you know, James Thompson app. It's so useful. It's getting a new widget in iOS 10 that I currently have on my device. It's already ingrained in my muscle memory to use the new widget on the home screen with 3D Touch. It's awesome. I love Peacock. I love James. And it, you know, deserves a spot in there.
So for me, I guess the first of my to-do applications, I guess, that exists on my home screen is Due. Due is the best app in the world for quick entry reminders. I think there is nothing better than this, like alarms and repeating things. My favorite thing about Due is the reminder will continue to bug you until you close it, until you either change the time of it or mark it as done. There are things that I don't deem necessary to be in my task manager, like trash, workout, reminding me that my TV show is about to begin. Like, I don't need that stuff in my calendar. I don't need that stuff in my to-do list, like in OmniFocus, in my getting things done system. Due is perfect for this. If I'm maybe sick and taking medications and want like a repeating 4-hour timer, Due is the best place for that. That's why it exists there. I love it. Canary's next up. I've mentioned Canary before. It is my home security system and I really love it. It does a great job and is worthy of a place on my home screen, so I can easily check in on it and, you know, set the place to arms and stuff like that. Apple Music, it does the job for me. I know it's not everybody's favorite music streaming service, but I like it. It's fine. And Google Maps, because as great as the Apple Watch integration is, Google's point of interest data is more reliable and more robust, and so is their transit information. So as nice as all the features are that are being added to Apple Maps, even for somebody who lives in a major city like London, I find Google's data to be more useful. And for someone who uses Maps applications constantly, I want that. You know, stuff like all the things that Google are adding, like opening and closing times, busy times. Have you seen this, Federico? Busy times.
Yeah, it's
in
awesome.
Google Maps?
It's awesome. And you know, earlier in July, they brought like points or like areas of interest. So an entire area gets highlighted in orange on Google Maps, and at least for Rome, it's super accurate. Like you can see where the mall is busy, or you can see like a district with a bunch of shops, and it's a busy area, and it's very, very nice.
And so for me, Google Maps forever. Stephen?
In the homepage criticism department, your three white icons, really, it's a bright streak.
And then it like goes up to the ones above it as well. There's like a big like white streak. It's like a lightning bolt that I've got on my home screen.
It's bouncing off the yellow diagonal in the Google Maps icon, like a ramp. So first for me on the second row down is messages, and there's a theme here on this row that it used to be the top row on the iPhone, and I added a new row above it when I went to the plus. Messages, I think, is really self-explanatory. All three of us have it. It is where I spend more time on my home screen than anywhere else some days. Up next is the iOS calendar app. I really do like Fantastical. I like the natural language stuff. It supports Google Calendar really well. The reason I'm not using it is one, my calendar needs are way less than they used to be. And so some of Fantastical's like power user stuff, I really just don't have a big need for anymore. But the bigger reason is that I really like having the day and the date on my home screen. I know Fantastical, you can set a badge. I think it's still true. You can set a badge with the date. Then I just think that I have 27 invites I need to deal with, and it freaks me out. So I'm using the calendar app. Like Federico said, it's a lot better than it used to be. It is really a solid app if your needs are you know, sort of mainstream. And then the last one, where the iOS camera app used to sit when this was the top row, I have Instagram, which is really interesting to me. You know, a lot of my Twitter use is sort of like tech Twitter. Facebook is, I have a bunch of like personal people. I actually don't accept friend requests from like people on the internet, just people I actually know. And Instagram is sort of a mix between the two. So I have stumbled into a lot of interesting little pockets on Instagram. Apple collectors. I follow a guy who only shoots photos that are blue and white, and it's just like beautiful. I really think like beautiful art is happening on Instagram, and I really enjoy it as a social network. And I hate the algorithmic timeline. I really wish I could go back to the newest at the top, but overall, I really find Instagram an enjoyable social network to be on, and it has been on my home screen for several years now. The rainbow icon is really not my favorite thing, but it's fine, and it's something that I enjoy spending time in.
Up next on my third row, the first two apps are an example of what I mentioned about trying Apple apps in the summer before the release of a new iOS. Mail and Calendar, I've put them back on my home screen temporarily to understand the changes that are happening with iOS 10. And of course, the best way to understand the changes is to actually try it firsthand. So Mail is fine. I do miss push notifications from my Google accounts. I miss the ability to customize, you know, actions and, you know, sharing with apps as I used to be able to do with AirMail. But also, I gotta say, Mail is super polished, so fluid. The interface isn't as buggy as AirMail. And in a way, I do appreciate not getting notifications, but checking email when I got time, or, you know, getting new messages every 15 minutes. It's not constantly beeping. So in a way, it's also nice. Calendar is okay. I think of the two apps, Calendar is maybe the one that I will stick with going forward, because I do like the split calendar view, you know, with the days at the top and the list of events at the bottom. But the thing about iOS 10 is Calendar is getting these new features to quickly create events based on previous events. So if you create an event that has previously occurred, such as in my case of visit to the physical therapist, there's a shortcut, like a proactive suggestion to create it. And there's a few more proactive things happening with Calendar in iOS 10, which are nice. And maybe I will stick to it, because I'm not a huge Calendar person, and maybe the Apple one is fine. And I like the notifications, you know, with the interactivity going on in iOS 10. Well, Wunderground is actually Weather Underground, but it sounds German. It's not German, I think. Although if it were German, I would have to say Wunderground. Right, Mike?
I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. That means the world to me.
If it were German, maybe it is German, because, you know, the colors in the icon, the black and yellow and red. Mm. So just a German relation there. But yep. In any case, Weather Underground or Wunderground, it's my favorite weather app, because it's got localized data for Rome, and not just for Rome, for my street where I live. Weather Underground supports Netatmo weather stations, so it uses crowdsourcing data provided by stations from other people that tell you more precise hyperlocal data, like what's the humidity like in my street where I live. And, you know, there's a lot going on in the interface of this app. Like, it's an advanced weather utility that tells you a lot of things. Thankfully, you can customize the app to hide sections you don't need. So, for example, I removed the radars and, you know, the wind. All of those things I don't care about. But the local approach really works for me, and it's really nice, especially because we have a humidity problem with our building. So it's something that I need to keep an eye on. And Copied, finally, is my clipboard manager, of course. Of choice. It's an app that lets you save bits of text that you copied, either text or images, and it syncs them with iCloud. over multiple devices, iPhone, iPad, and Mac. And what's nice about Copy is that it's fast, the interface is simple, and it supports text, links, and images really nicely with previews. I use Copy every time I need to move multiple paragraphs of text or multiple links in a row, such as, for example, when I need to move charts for Apple Earnings. I upload the chart to my server and then I move the link back to the Mac, because it's one of those few times when I use a Mac to follow an event. Copy is really nice, syncs really fast with iCloud, and I don't think it'll be sherlocked by the Universal Clipboard in iOS 10, because this is really an app for power users, and the Clipboard sync in iOS 10 is just a one-way sync of one item, and it doesn't even work most of the time for me. So Copy, full feature Clipboard Manager. I love the app. It's free to try with an in-app purchase. Been on my home screen for almost 2 years at this point.
So for me, starts off with the camera. The camera plays double duty for me. I have it as a quick access to the camera, but also to my photos. So I use it for both things. I know that you can get to the camera many ways on iOS, but none of them have ever really stuck for me, especially the Control Center one. I never think to open Control Center to take a picture. I have the camera icon right there, and it's also the way that I get to my photo roll. Instagram, for the same reasons that Steven said, there's a lot of outrage and things that will make you upset on the internet, but my Instagram feed is just little doses of happy things and things that I like. A lot of it is just people writing on paper with nice pens, right? Like, it's just nice to watch that sort of stuff or to see that sort of stuff. Fantastical, I love the natural language input for adding events. I love the Notification Center widget, and I love the Apple Watch complication and Apple Watch app. I think these are all the reasons why I choose a lot, which is why I will always choose Fantastical over anything else. And for many reasons that Federico gave about pCalc, that is why I use pCalc as well. I love pCalc for its layouts. I like that I can set little programmable buttons, for example, minus 30%. So when I'm calculating money, I'll calculate minus 30% to see what that value is, because that's what I save for tax. Or I have currency conversion buttons, and the widgets and stuff are great on that as well.
Yeah, I've got pCalc stuck in a work folder. Sorry, James. But it is a true gem on iOS. This row for me starts with media. I have music, which I don't use Apple Music. I'm still syncing music from my computer over USB until they make me stop. Next up is Overcast. Like Federico said, it's what we're all using. I think it's one of the best, if not the best, podcast client on iOS. I use it heavily on the iPhone. The iPhone really is where I listen to podcasts. A lot of times just with the built-in speaker, even like out on the counter or on the desk. But it does sync with the iPad, which is nice. Up next is a utility that has really grown in importance for me, being 1Password. I wrote a thing for Six Colors, the magazine, last month, talking about the things you can do in 1Password beyond just logins and passwords. So I have secure notes, things like driver's license, bank information. I need our, like, for instance, I need our routing information for the Relay banking account more often than you would think. That's in there as a secure note in 1Password. I can keep everything safe and together, and it uses Touch ID, which is really nice. You don't have to enter that really long 1Password password. And next to it sits Day One. You know, Mike, you and I differ in the way that we use this program. I do use it as a journal, not so much necessarily like long, in-depth things, although that has its place in there. But I use it for simple stuff. So, you know, if I'm at the park with my kids, you know, I take a bunch of pictures. I may pick my favorite two or three, put them in there. You know, it'll geotag it. It'll have the weather. And I can write a little thing about, hey, you know, we went to the park tonight and, you know, we had dinner and this funny thing happened. Just little snapshots. And I really love that in Day One, if you really commit to it, it pays off. So they have a this year in the past, like Google Photos does, where I can go and see, hey, you know, 2 years ago we did, you know, we were on this trip and this is like the thing that I put in there about it. And for me, it's really like a family memories application. And it's been part of my workflow for a really long time, both on the Mac and on iOS. The extension makes it really easy to add photos as well, and that has diminished the need for it on the home screen a little bit, but I also leave it on the home screen sort of as a reminder to use it, where I feel like if it were off in a folder somewhere where I'd be less likely to enter things, and I like just having little snapshots in there. So having it quickly accessible has been a big benefit to me in the way that I use it.
Up next for me is a role that is split in two purposes. The first one is news, and I use Nuzzle to catch up on what is being shared on Twitter, and it's especially useful when I'm on vacation or when I'm busy, such as when I'm writing a long article, and I want to quickly, you know, check on Twitter what is going on, what is being shared by people I follow in the past X hours, and it's a great way to see, you know, what everyone is talking about. And Pocket is where I read articles for save articles to read later, and I'm using Pocket instead of Instapaper for what is maybe a silly reason, which is I want to know at the end of the year how much I've read in Pocket, and Pocket sends you like an email with or maybe there's even a web page you can log in and view your stats, and it's the sort of thing that I want to know, you know, how many hours I've spent reading, you know, what are the topics that I'm interested in. And maybe Instapaper Instapaper is also a fantastic app and great service, and in many ways is a superior reading experience to Pocket. But I feel like Pocket's, you know, stats combined with the recommendations, which are really accurate, are good enough for me. Blink is, you know, the app by my friend and colleague John Voorhees. I use it every day. It's an app to generate affiliate links for the iTunes store, and I use it for apps. I use it for my personal Twitter account, for Mac stories, for the newsletters. Every time you see a link from me, it's an affiliate link. I know that some people don't like it, but that's what it is. You're free not to click or tap, I guess. And last, Slack. We pay for Slack at Mac stories. We have a team Slack account. We use it every day. It's where all of our communication happens. My renewal is up in August, and I'm going to pay Slack again because it saves us so much time. We use it for integrations with GitHub, MailChimp, Trello, Zapier, you name it. It allows us to bring all of the different services together, save time, communicate better, and they're adding new options to save messages as reminders directly from iOS, which is awesome. So yeah, huge Slack fan. I have my own pair of Slack socks. If I could, I would wear Slack clothes. That's how much I love this service. Yeah.
Like a suit made out of that.
A Slack suit of Pleiad with the Slack colors. Awesome. Yes.
I would so buy that.
Me too, actually. So bad. Did they have one for sale?
No, they should. Not right now, but they should get on that. Messages is up for me next. Messages is the way that I communicate with so many people in my life. It's always going to have a place on my home screen, because even if I move to other messaging services, stuff like Slack, there are always going to be people that I only ever talk to in messages. That's just the way it's always been from when it was simply just a text message application. I don't know if I need to say much more about Slack than Federico said, to be honest, which is the one that's next. It's where some of my most valued communities are on the internet, and it's also where I'm able to do work as well. So it is the hub for a lot of things that are important for me to get stuff done and also to talk with people and socialize with people that I enjoy. OmniFocus is my getting things done system. It remains the system that works the way that my brain does, which is why I really like it. I've been using it for a long time now, and what I really like about OmniFocus right now is there seems to be a lot of stuff happening at the Omni Group, and they're adding more things to OmniFocus, which are very different to the way that the app has been used in the past. Like, for example, the automation stuff, which I love. So, you know, I can set up workflow actions to automatically add 20 tasks in one time. I do that with some shows that I post that are more complex and take some extra work to make sure that I've hit all of the little steps that are needed there. And as time's going on, I'm creating more and more of these workflow templates that will automatically add things to OmniFocus. And I know that they're working on making that even better. And there's even rumblings of shared tasks in OmniFocus, which excites me greatly. 1Password keeps me secure, so I use 1Password.
One thing I would add to the 1Password discussion is the 1Password for families and teams. So I have the 1Password for family set up with my wife. We can share content and passwords together. And then Mike, you and I use a business team for Relay. So we have logins to, it seems like, thousands of things. Yep. And we can share that. We used to just like text each other the 1Password links back and forth, but one of us would change something and forget to tell the other. It kind of broke down. And the teams and the families programs for 1Password are really great. You should definitely check them out if you use 1Password with other people.
I mean, I'm intrigued to see how they go. I don't think the applications are built well enough to support these features yet. And I find there are just some places where the team stuff breaks things, like the favorite lists and stuff.
Yeah, on the Mac app especially, it's a little janky, but they'll get there.
I'm happy there's a way that we can share stuff, but I'm looking forward to better implementation.
These bottom two rows for me have been very consistent over the years. Dropbox being up first, like Mike, Dropbox is my file system. If I have anything except basically a logic file on my computer, chances are it is in Dropbox, and having it accessible on the go is super important to me. I pay for a pro account. I have for a long time. It really is a cornerstone in my technology life. Up next is Notes. It has many things have sat in this spot over the years. Evernote, a bunch of plain text apps. But with iOS 9 and the OS 10 update last year, Notes obviously got a lot of attention. It continues to get a lot of attention. I've really been impressed with it. It's been solid. I can attach and insert images and PDFs into Notes, which is what I always wanted and why I always got frustrated by plain text of like, I need this text and then a screenshot, or like this text and then a checklist and then a PDF, and Notes allows you to put all that together. Slack is the next one. Like Mac Stories Relay, we pay for a Slack account. I'm in several. I think I'm in, you know, depending on what's going on, 4 to 6 Slack accounts at any time. The app could be better. It is a little rough around the edges still. I would like to see them implement some modern iOS features as well. Like as of this recording, you cannot reply to a notification like you can in iMessage. It's a joke on the watch. They need to get some work done on this, but the core service is good and really has become my office in many ways as an independent worker. And last is an app called Storm. Anytime I share a screenshot of my home screen, this is the app people always ask about. It is built by Weather Underground. I like the Weather Underground app, Federico, that you use, but it's a little busy for me, and I really like radars. Where I live, the radar is a more important thing maybe than other parts of the country, or definitely other parts of the world, where we get big thunderstorms that come across the central part of the U.S. And I will bet that I'm a weather nerd, but it's helpful to know what's going on. And Storm is really built around the radar view, so that most of the app is the radar, and they have tiles across the bottom for like hourly, you know, weekly forecast, current temperature warnings and watches and that sort of thing. You tap on a tile and it expands up with a really nice animation. Storm is really well laid out. It has a beautiful dark mode, and it's just a nice weather app. It can, like I believe, like Weather Underground, like Dark Sky and a bunch of other stuff. You can set up to tell you when rain is in the area. It uses geolocation in the background to do that. I also have it set up to tell me about lightning strikes, because that's a thing here in this part of the country. It's just an all-around nice tool, and one that's not as busy as the main Weather Underground app. And of course, like the main app, the app icon is super cool. Like the dark background, the beautiful colors, it adds a nice little bit of flavor to what could be a you know, rather boring weather app. Federico, I have many questions about your next row.
Okay. So in this row, there's two apps I will probably change. The first one is Box. So we started using Box early this year because I moved to an Office 360 subscription for you know, collaboration stuff and Excel and Word documents that I need to have for business reasons. And Box was the only service to have a superior integration with Office documents on iOS. And also, I liked the fact that that I could directly pay for Box, because I wasn't feeling like Dropbox was, you know, gonna be around for much longer. But I feel like Dropbox has been making really nice improvements over the past few months, and they're sort of caught up on Box on the Office integration front. And so I feel like by the end of the year, when my Box account is due renewal, I probably won't renew and I will move back to Dropbox because I feel like they've gotten their act together again. Working copy, I use it every day. So we rely on GitHub with multiple repositories to collaborate on Markdown files. And the reason I use working copy is... it keeps track of word level changes between multiple revisions of the same document. So when, for example, John sends me a draft of an article he's working on and I make edits to the document, he's going to see the individual words highlighted in working copy the next time he refreshes the repo. And we use working copy for Clapmac stories. We use it for individual author drafts. So I have a repository for John, one for Jake, another for Graham, and I have one for me, where I share drafts of upcoming stories that I want the team to read. Use it every day. It's awesome. Trello, we've moved to a couple of months ago. We restructured the entire system behind the reader submissions for Clapmac stories. So every time a reader sends us a home screen or a question or a workflow request, it goes directly through a Google form, I should say. There's a new Google form on the web. It goes directly into our Trello as a card. So we don't have to go to the Google Forms website, which is kind of horrible. It shows up nicely formatted in Trello thanks to Zapier. We do a lot of Zapier automation, and Trello has excellent integration with Zapier. And on iOS, I went a little crazy with the workflows. And in addition to having reader questions as Trello cards, in each card, there's the text of the question and at the bottom, a link that says run the workflow. When you tap the link, it goes directly into the workflow app and it reformats the text for Mac Stories Weekly in Markdown and it sends it to Ulysses. So we can go from a question in in Google Form to Trello automatically, and then we can pick and choose the cards that we want to cover, move them back into the current Mac Stories Weekly list, tap the workflow link and get started on the writing without doing any reformatting manually ourselves. Manually, I think Mike looked at the automatic process in action during our trip to WWDC and he seemed impressed.
I was blown away by it. It's one of the most insane things I've ever seen. One of my favorite things about the Federico's setup for Mac Stories is many websites have like style guides, right? Where they ask their writers to write in a specific style. I think Federico has an application guide where he makes everybody that writes for him use very specific applications so things can work.
That's very, very accurate, actually. That's what we do. The last app is Reader, and it's the one that I think I'm going to replace because there's a few, two reasons. There's a few nasty bugs in the app that sometimes I tap on on an article and it shows me a completely different article. Like yesterday, I tapped on a Nintendo story and it showed me something about Tim Cook from a couple of weeks ago. And this is happening regularly every week. So that's probably an indication that...
Is this an iOS 10 problem or an
No, it was happening in iOS 9 too. Okay. And the bigger problem here is that Reader is not updated often from the developer. But the reason why I kept using it is because there's simply no other RSS client with the same polish, the same fluid animations, the way that I like them as Reader. And I'm probably going to go back to either Unread, or if I want to do some more automation, I'm probably going to use Fiery Feeds, which is this RSS client with support for URL scheme actions and a bunch of different RSS services. So we'll see. But the bug with loading the incorrect stories, that's a big, red light for me that something needs to be changed. Just didn't have the time yet.
Telegram is here. I don't know how long Telegram's going to last on my home screen. This made its way to my home screen after I started following the Mac Stories Telegram channel, and then me and Federico moved our communication to Telegram. That has now moved back to messages because of the new stuff. I currently only speak to John Voorhees over Telegram. I expect that's going to change very soon when we're both using messages constantly. And then it may move just off to the second screen, and I'll just check in on the Mac Stories Telegram channel whenever something is popping up there. But it's becoming an app that is getting used less and less from me, so that will probably move off quite soon. Quip is quite simply the best real-time document collaboration app on iOS. It's just a fact. It has bugs, it has some weirdness, but it's split screen. And there is no other real-time collaboration app that I have found for sharing text and seeing people writing at the same time than Quip, because Google Docs is a letdown and everyone at Google should be ashamed of themselves. The Relay FM application, because I like to see my icon on my home screen. And Trello. Trello is how we deal with sponsorship tracking internally from a sales perspective at Relay FM. So as we talk to companies and as we're monitoring where companies are in our kind of process of selling and sending out contracts and kind of working out who we want to speak to for the next quarters and beyond, that all goes into Trello. This was a great addition that Stephen made to our company, so I wasn't keeping it in my brain anymore, and it allowed us to actually work on it together as opposed to like sending cryptic messages back and forth. So I'm really happy Trello has made a big impact to our business, and it's a really solid application, and it has really, really nice iOS implementation. It feels like an app, it feels like the web app is so good that they would have made some kind of weird janky version of the web app for their device apps, but if it is that, it doesn't feel like that. I really, really like the Trello app.
Yeah, it's good. So my last row here, the first app is a relative newcomer. I have used OmniFocus for years and years, and recently had some growing frustrations with it. Really in the sort of the speed I could get data in and out of it on the iOS app. And so I'm currently using To-Do, which Federico, you reviewed last year. Is it last year? You did an ebook on it?
Yeah.
I have some quibbles with it, especially on the Mac. But on iOS, it's fast. It syncs with Dropbox really well. And it has so far been a little bit better of a fit for me than OmniFocus. One thing I really like about it are actions. And so you can, instead of having a task saying, call Federico at 9 p.m., you can set it up in To-Do where you tap a button and it launches the dialer with Federico to call Federico. And that little bit of friction that it can take out is really nice. It does a nice job at deep linking to things like mail messages. OmniFocus can do that, but it's a little bit more difficult. So far, it's just a little bit better fit for me. We'll see how that goes. I'm willing to try it for a couple of months and to see if I'm actually more productive or if it's just like new shininess in my life.
So we're recording this episode a couple of weeks in advance of it being released. I would like to place a bet, and we can check with Stephen over Twitter when this episode comes out, that To-Do will not be the application that sits in that spot.
All right, we'll see.
But that's my bet because again, yeah, I've seen you do this with task management systems, and
I've
you end
around.
Up going back to the cow one for a little while because that's your thing, and then you go back to OmniFocus.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see.
Up next, of course, Tweetbot. I can't really add anything that anyone hasn't ever thought or said about Tweetbot. It's the best Twitter client on iOS, in my opinion. The new version was at version 4, super great on the iPad as well. I don't do a lot of lists with it, but it has really nice list support. But I've got like 6 accounts in there, and it's rock solid. Unread is the RSS app that I'm using. I, like Federico, saw some of those weird bugs in Reader. I also really dislike that Reader doesn't use native sharing. It has its own like weird sharing subsystem that I found annoying over time.
I find that such a weird choice in applications made by single developers without a company structure above them.
It's an old, I mean, on Reader's part, it's because it's old, because he built it all before the share sheet and then never replaced it. But Unread has share sheet integration, but they use what's called Overshare Kit, which is something that the original developer, Jared Sinclair, worked on. And Overshare Kit basically means if you send an iMessage from this, hey, check out this article, it pulls like the headline, a paragraph or two, the image. That's really nice, but it can be really frustrating as well when you just want a URL. You have to like jump through another hoop just to get the URL. But I like the interface. It's very fluid. It's all swiping and gestures and really nice to use just in the palm of your hand. Unread is what I use on the iPad as well, and I really like it. And finally, I have Instapaper, which has been in this spot since day one. Instapaper was out, I think, the first day of the App Store or very close to the original launch of the App Store, and has been my been my read it later service for choice ever since. I like some things about Pocket. I really don't like Pocket's reading interface. I like that you have a lot more control over that in Instapaper. Of course, it has extension support. It's really easy to get things into Instapaper now. It's a little... Part of it being on my home screen is momentum that has been there for so long. It feels wrong. Take it off. I do interact with Instapaper much more on the iPad, where I do a lot more reading than on my phone. But it is nice to have it handy, and I have some folders in there. So if something comes across my radar that I want to talk about on 512 Pixels, but it's not immediate, it's not a to-do of like, hey, link to this thing today. Maybe it's I'm working on a bigger project and just kind of storing things. I can put them into folders in Instapaper. You can do that from the extension as well. Just a really solid iOS, member of the iOS community at this point, and has been there for a long, long time. Now we come to an awkward point in our round robin, where Federico mm-hmm. has a last row of icons, and Mike and I leave our last row open. Yeah. So Federico, do you want to walk us through your extra apps?
So the next row is the review row of apps. At this point, deep into the writing and editing process of the review, and the Notes app is what I use actually every day, not just for the review, but for any kind of note-taking, personal note-taking and work notes. I love the Notes extension that lets me save links into existing notes, so I can append links at the bottom of a note. And I use it for documents, PDFs, I use it for images, sketches, whatever. Everything goes into Notes. The next three apps are... Ulysses is the one that I use for text editing, for Club Mac stories and as well as the site. But iThoughts and Scrivener are on my home screen right now because of working on the iOS 10 review. iThoughts, both actually are only contain one project, which is the iOS 10 review. It's called in both apps. And in iThoughts, it's a mind map, so it lets me visualize the different topics and branches and nodes of each topic. And as I showed Mike a few weeks ago, the reason I use a mind map is I want to be able to look at the initial tree of the story. And as I work on sections, as I write the sections, I want to collapse those branches into an individual entry, which indicates to me that the section has been completed. So I can visualize progress through going from a big mind map to just a list of items. And the smaller it gets, the more I know I got down on the page in my text editor. And it makes me feel better, and it gives me a visual indication of progress. And Scrivener is, we talked about this on Connected, it's what I'm using to write the iOS 10 review. It's a long form writing app that I'm using just for this project. It's been amazing for me, the way that it helped me organize sections, chapters, sub-documents, and pull in research from multiple sources, such as screenshots and documents or little plain text notes. And the combination of markdown export but rich text editing, on the other hand, it allowed me to write the iOS 10 review like unlike anything I've done before. And I've been struggling for many years to have a rich text environment that could help me highlight text in specific way, but that wasn't possible with Markdown. And with Scrivener, I found a good balance of writing tools made for rich text, but exporting options made for Markdown. And that combination is unique on iOS, and it's on my iPhone and iPad home screen. And if you're doing any kind of long-form writing, I really, really recommend it.
You may as well go for your doc as well now, Federico, so we don't break the round robin.
All right. So you might see Todoist in my doc right now. And I don't want to repeat what I mentioned on Canvas in the first episode of the To-Do Apps mini-series. I'm using Todoist now at this moment in my life because I want to be able to automate things for Club Mac Stories and for the iOS 10 review and for the website, as well as my personal to-do list, because I'm too busy to not have that automation, that web automation with Zapier, which is not possible with To-Do. I still prefer To-Do as a native iOS to-do app and task manager, and I'll probably go back to To-Do sometime in the future, especially if the email to-do feature gets smarter, or if, you know, maybe someday To-Do will be able to have web automation like Todoist does. But for now, Todoist is the task manager that I can automate to save time. So to add things to my to-do list without me having to think about it. So I can, you know, create and to-dos from RSS feeds, or I can create them from Trello. I just want to be able to save time by removing friction from my habits. From, you know, I don't want to remember to add things. I just want to do them. I just want to mark them as done. And I cannot mark something as complete if it's not in my task manager in the first place. And the reason is I'm a terrible person when it comes to remembering to add stuff to my to-do list. So if I can automate it, that's better. And at this point in my life, this summer, when I'm so busy writing like 10 hours a day, I want to automate stuff. Safari is my default browser. I love it. I use it every day. I love Safari View Controller. I love the integrations with other apps, such as extensions. I think it's the best app that Apple makes for iOS. And I don't want to switch to Google Chrome or other browsers ever again. I'm sorry, Mike. Messages I'm using again because of iOS 10, like Mike mentioned. I don't know where things will end up, you know, once iOS 10 is out. Maybe WhatsApp and Telegram will ship updates that will make them substantially better than they are now. But I feel like Apple has a real chance to turn iMessage into a platform with iMessage apps and seekers, and it's going to be fun. There's a lot of new, you know, conversations in the new iMessage are a lot richer than before. There's rich links, effects, you know, a lot of stuff going on to modernize iMessage, and I like it, at least for now. And finally, Tweetbot is probably the app that I'm least proud of, but also the happiest with, because from a technical and design perspective, Tweetbot is an excellent app, and it's really a fantastic piece of software. It's the Twitter app that Twitter should make. But on the other hand, I spend way too much time on Twitter, and I'm trying to move away from the habit of just, you know, closing the text editor and just casually spending 30 minutes doing nothing on Twitter. And I love Twitter and I love the people that follow me, but it's just, sometimes it's just too much. You know, there's a lot of negativity going on and there's a lot of subtweeting, or in general, it's just not productive for me. So on the iPad, I moved Twitter, Tweetbot out of my dock and into a regular row on the home screen. But on the iPhone, where, you know, I'm using it more to when I go out, when I'm waiting in line. So having faster access to Tweetbot is better, if only for that reason, that when I'm out, when I'm waiting, when I'm, you know, moments of dead time, I like Twitter. It's just when I'm working, maybe not. And that's my home screen. Finally, it's complete. It's done.
To continue on from Federico's Tweetbot thing, I just flat out think that Tweetbot is probably my favorite iOS app of all time. It's fantastic, and it has remained that way for a very, very long time. I love it. I love using it. I love all the features that they add, and I'm so happy that the iPad now gets the love of the iPhone. Now it's made it complete. I use Airmail for my email. This is on Federico's recommendation. It has some fantastic actions. It has bugs in weird places, but it's very, very powerful. And I've changed the way that I do a lot of things because of Airmail. Being able to add email to OmniFocus with links to tap back with the text of the email and the notes is absolutely fantastic, and it's helped me deal with email in a new way. Being able to create PDFs from messages on my iPhone and on my iPad is, again, completely changed the way that I do things, and I love that Airmail is around to allow me to do that. Both Federico and Steven have mentioned how there are some applications on their phone that have remained in the place that they are and remain on the home screen because of inertia, and like it's just the way that it's always been done. This is the same with me for Chrome. This is like a holdover from when I use my Mac a lot more, and I use Chrome on my Mac, and I figure if you use a web browser, you should use the same web browser on all of your devices. That's my feeling, because you get the benefit of shared history and the ability to pick up tabs. So that's why I use Chrome on my devices, and I'm happy with Chrome, so I stick with Chrome. And Overcast is the way that I listen to my very favorite medium in the world, which is podcasts, and Overcast continues to get better and better, and I love the members features, I love the dark mode, I love the inbox as a podcast creator. It's very useful for me to see how things are going to look in the app that I use and the app that a lot of our listeners use. But also, it's just a way for me to confirm that I've got my chapters in the right place and stuff like that. So as a producer, I use it a lot for that. And it's also good for audiobooks. So there we go. That's my home screen.
So I'll round us out. My dock has just three icons in it.
Yours is so boring.
I have phone because I'm an adult and have to make phone calls. I use the default mail app. Airmail, while great, never really clicked for me for some reasons. So mail's in the middle. And then I have Safari, which I agree with Federico is a spectacular example of a well-done iOS app. I think Apple's done a really good job with it. And I use it all the time on the phone, so it is in the dock as well. And there is no fourth icon because CGP Grey is a bully.
I hate the way that three icon thing looks, by the way. I don't know why you do it. It's not in line with the rest of your home screen.
I used to put settings in there. People would yell at me. So settings is now on the second screen. But that's it. That's my home screen.
Another weird choice for your weird dock. Thank you so much for listening to our members episode. But most of all, thank you for supporting Relay FM. We really, really appreciate it. We hope that you continue to find reasons to support us in the future. And we hope that this extra special members bonus content this year has been a good enough reason for you. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you back on the regular show. Say goodbye, guys.
Arrivederci e grazie.
Oh, wow.
Adios.
And gracias, I guess?
Yes.
Sure. Gracias.
Sí.